Hi there, I'm James Apache, and this is Coffee and a Case Note. Team, today we're going to talk about a bunch of parties who are in partnership, and what those parties in partnership, or what those partners do, is they operate a law firm together. And each of those partners is themselves a trustee, and each of those trustees has a direct relationship with an individual person. And from time to time, we're going to use the term partner interchangeably with that trustee entity, as well as with the individual person who that entity has a relationship with. Don't worry about it, it's going to make good sense. So this partnership has two forms of partners, two different categories of partners you can be. You can be a fixed draw partner, which is sometimes what lawyers refer to as a salaried partner, where you might have a nice clear salary that you get paid year to year. The other type of partner is what we might call a capital partner, and that's where issues like points are referred to today. And sometimes we think of a capital partner being a slightly more lucrative role in the partnership. Today we're talking about the capital partners of a partnership operating a law firm. Now, this law firm was what some people call an easy in, easy out law firm. You didn't have to buy in, and you didn't get paid as you went out. So you might be promoted into the partnership on 1 July 2018, whatever it might be, and you just come in, you don't have to buy in. And pursuant to the terms of the partnership deed, you might end up leaving on a certain other date, and it might happen quite quickly as well. So you're not taking anything in, and you're not taking anything out in relation to the partnership. We're dealing today with a position in relation to one particular partner who was purportedly expelled from the partnership in November 2020. And the nature of this purported expulsion was that it was done allegedly or purportedly pursuant to the partnership deed, and that had the effect of a very violent, immediate cessation of the relationship with the firm. Right? This partnership deed says, if a capital partner leaves, that is it. There's no sort of easing out into the twilight. There's no demotion from a capital partner back down to a fixed draw partner or anything like that. Is once the extraordinary resolution is passed, removing that capital partner from the partnership, bang, they're gone. It's an immediate violent divorce from any role with the firm. It's the operation of this partnership deed that's going to be really relevant for us today. Now, the partner or former partner or purportedly former partner who is bringing the litigation today is the plaintiff. And what that plaintiff complains about is saying, hey, I was expelled from the partnership pursuant to an invalid process. They didn't do what they were meant to do pursuant to the partnership deed, and so my purported expulsion was invalid. So let's have a think about what a partnership or what the partners had to do to expel that partner, and we're going to figure that out from the terms of the partnership deed. Now, in order to expel a partner, what you need to do was to pass an extraordinary resolution. And an extraordinary resolution, so says the partnership deed, requires 80% of the partners to vote in favour of it. And there was a proposal put forward by the managing partner of the partnership that was by way of an email. And there was a voting button sent out to all the capital partners where the managing partner was seeking to have votes in favour of this extraordinary resolution removing the partner. This email also dealt with another subject. It also dealt with the technical requirements, such as the giving of notice in relation to the removal of a partner. So the partnership deed says you've got to give a partner at least 7 days notice if you're going to expel them, or you can remove that 7 day notice period by extraordinary resolution of the partnership, by one of these 80% votes. What this email says with a little voting button, do you want to vote yes or no? It says, firstly, do we want to expel the plaintiff from the partnership? Secondly, do we want to do away with the technical requirements like notice? Here's the voting button, yes or no. What the plaintiff says is, whoa, 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 that's an invalid process for two reasons. Firstly, you can't bundle up the expulsion from the partnership with the technical notice period question, because there might be partners who want to vote one way on one issue and the other way on another issue. Secondly, what the plaintiff said was, well, don't you really need to dispose of whether we're dealing with these technical requirements, especially in relation to notice, before we go along with the substantive position of if you're going to kick a partner out of the partnership. So it might sound like a bit of a technical argument. So the court got into it and the court said, well, it's a really violent outcome if someone is expelled from the partnership. And so it's very, very serious. And so we've got to think carefully about it. And there must have been a reason for notice to have been granted. And the court thinks about the scenario where you can imagine a partner who gets notice that in 7 days you're probably going to get expelled, there's going to be a vote. Then that partner might go, oh my gosh, I've got to try to win this popularity contest as quickly and effectively as I can. And they might run around trying to speak to the accounts department to get numbers or speak to their mates or speak to their clients or whatever it might be to try to gather up some support for them remaining in the partnership. So the court said that the importance of that notice period can't be quickly dismissed on that basis. And secondly, the violence, as we said before, of that divorce, that immediate expulsion from the partnership, meant that the vote needed to be treated with care, and it did need indeed to be treated in the way the plaintiff said. Those two resolutions did need to be separated, and they weren't. They were all bundled into one, and that meant the process was invalid. And so the plaintiff succeeded. So the court agreed with the plaintiff on that point. The court went on to say, hey, look, I note that we've disposed of the issue by finding that process was invalid, but the court also turns to the 80% required for an extraordinary resolution of the partners to be passed. And the court has to sit down and think of like, well, there's about sort of 150, 200 partners, and the number who voted was about 100 or something like that. And there were 80% of that 100 who voted, at least 80%, I think a lot more than 80%, were in favor of both, ticked yes in accordance with the voting button. But let's say 100 abstained, and so less than 80% of the partners voted, and so certainly less than 80% of the partners voted in favor. And so the court had to grapple with, is this just 80% of the partners voting or 80% of the partners themselves? And after going back and forth on it, the court resolved that the correct construction of the partnership deed was that in order to pass any extraordinary resolution, you actually need 80% of all partners, not just 80% of partners who decided to click the button and vote. And so the plaintiff won on the first point in relation to the validity of the process, but if necessary would have won on the second point in relation to the 80% basis for the passing of an extraordinary resolution. So the plaintiff wins on what we call the liability question, and the question of assessment of damages or assessment of loss is pushed off for another day. The plaintiff gets a costs order in their favour as well, having succeeded on that point. I hope that slightly technical discussion assisted you, and I look forward to chatting again soon over another coffee and in respect of another case note. Cheers.